Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Thank you for taking the time to tune in to today's service. We trust that God will bless you as you sing with us and also as we consider the Word of God together. We'll just come to the Lord in prayer and ask for His help as we speak to Him and as we look at His Word today. Father, we come before You today and we ask just for Your help, for Your grace, for Your mercy. We're thankful, O God, that wherever we are and whatever we do, we thank you, Lord, that you can meet with us and speak with us, Lord, as we come to you, as we look to you for help, as we look to you for grace. We're thankful, O God, that you are omniscient and you are omnipresent. You know all about us. You know our circumstances. And we just pray that all that would be said and done today will be a blessing to each and every heart. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to look in the Word of God at a man named Isaiah, and we find him in Isaiah chapter 6, how God comes to him and calls him to be a prophet. But Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, we simply read, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Amen. We're now going to have our second hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on Which the Prince of Glory Died.
Amen.
Today we want to consider the subject, a life-changing vision in a day of crisis. A life-changing vision in a day of crisis. We find this man Isaiah, he had this life-changing vision. It was a day of crisis for him. And we read of that in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. Those who are listening to this recording of a certain age, they will well remember the date, the 16th of August in 1977, because there were huge headlines in the globe, in the world, on that particular occasion. On the 16th of August 1977, Elvis Presley, of course, was famously dubbed the King of Rock and Roll. He fell in his bathroom. He was then rushed to a hospital, actually a Baptist hospital in Memphis, in America. And sadly, he later died that afternoon in the hospital. I say you'll remember that time because obviously he was very famous. But the headlines in the newspapers and so on throughout the world, throughout the globe, they read this. The king is dead. The king is dead. Now, if you were to take yourself back in time even further, some 2,700 years ago, if there were newspapers around in that day, then the newspaper headlines would have been exactly the same. They would have read like this, the king is dead, the king is dead. You see, 700 years approximately before the birth of Jesus Christ, King Uzziah, Judah's 11th king, he died. Verse 1 makes that very clear, in the year that King Uzziah died. This was a huge catastrophe. This was a huge conundrum for God's people in Judah at that time. See, the vast majority of God's people, they were pinning their hopes on this particular king. This king, Uzziah, he was not perfect, but all things considered, he was a decent man. He was a godly individual to a degree. And they were knowing prosperity, they were knowing blessing, the like of which they had never experienced since the days of King Solomon. Things were going well, as we would say, in society today. And many, they were looking to King Uzziah, who were taking them on, who were progressing things governmentally, economically, sociologically, all of these different ways. They were pinning their hopes upon King Uzziah. But sadly, that all changed. Sadly, their hope and their expectation, it turned to sorrow and it turned to despair because King Uzziah died. And the headlines would have been, the king is dead, the king is dead. And this would have been a time of national calamity. It also would have been a time of personal calamity for the individual who is really speaking here. Isaiah, the prophet, who of course wrote this book. You see, Isaiah, he was the prophet at that time, and he too, he believed that King Uzziah was mightily used of God and was being used of God to usher in better days ahead, spiritually, financially, economically, and so on. He believed this as well. And to add all of this and to really drive it home, history would teach us that King Uzziah was also the cousin of the prophet Isaiah. So when you bring all of this together, the king has now died. This man whom Israel were placing their hope in and placing their trust in, he is now gone. Isaiah's lost a friend. He's lost a confidant, a counselor. He's lost a cousin. He has lost it all. It was a day of calamity. It was a day of worry. It was a day of restlessness for Isaiah. And yet in the year that King Uzziah died, in a day of crisis for Isaiah, something wonderful happened. Verse 1 tells us, I saw also the Lord, high and lifted up, sitting upon a throne. He had a life-changing vision in a day of crisis. And my friend, here we are today. We have national calamities and crises all around us, economically, globally. There are wars. Coronavirus is still having its effect. Perhaps you have a personal crisis and calamity in your life. What do you need, my friend? You need a life-changing vision in a day of crisis. I trust today as we look at Isaiah chapter 6, as we look at this vision that Isaiah had, As we see how it changed him, how it impacted him, that it'll impact you. Isaiah's vision in a day of crisis. Notice with me his revelation of the Lord. His revelation of the Lord. In verse 1, we read, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." This had a profound impact upon Isaiah. It would have a life-changing impact upon Isaiah. Because in verse 8, he simply states, "Here am I, Lord, send me. I will not be part of the problem. I will be part of the solution." So it had a huge impact upon him. Now we must ask the question, what was it that impacted him? What did he actually see? What changed his life in his day of crisis? I believe in verses 1 through 4, he saw different things. We get a glimpse of what he saw concerning the Lord. Look at how he saw the Lord's position. Verse 1, "Sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up." King Uzziah was the earthly monarch of Judah. He was the king. And Isaiah was very close to him. They were close. And yet, in this day of crisis, Isaiah, he sees beyond an earthly monarch. He sees the Lord high and lifted up. And we read here in verse 1, his train filled the temple. He's sitting on his throne. He is in an elevated position. You think of how you would address the king or the queen that you would meet today. You would say, "Your Royal Highness," and you would bow before them. Why would you say that? To acknowledge their sovereignty, to acknowledge their supremacy, to acknowledge the fact that they are in a higher position than you. And you usually find them on the throne. And this vision here that Isaiah has of the Lord, he sees the Lord, he sees his Royal Highness high and lifted up, sitting on a throne. He sees beyond the earthly monarch who has died. He sees God as his king. He sees him in this lofty position. In verse 5, he emphasizes this, "Mine eyes have seen the king." He sees the Lord's position. He sees his purity. In verse 2, "Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. Twain he covered his face, twain he covered his feet, twain he did fly." It seems above this vision of the Lord sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up in an elevated position, above the Lord, there are these angelic beings, the seraphims. We're told here that they had six wings. With two, they covered their face. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they flew. Why did they cover their face, these angelic beings? Well, as they looked at the Lord, they had to cover their eyes, as it were, their face. Such was the blazing glory and majesty of the king that they were beholding. They were blinded. Blinded by the one whom they were seeing. That's why they had to cover their eyes. They also saw the presence of the Lord in this revelation. His train filled the temple. The idea of this word train is robe. And here's the king, he's in his royal robe, and yet this robe is so large, it literally is filling and covering and encompassing the temple, God's house. When you put all this together, what a wonderful vision Isaiah had in his day of crisis. My friend, in your day of crisis, in all that's going on, what do you need to see? Who do you need to see, my friend? You need to see the position, the one who's in that eminent position, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You need to see, my friend, beyond the earthly monarchs of today. Whether it be the White House, whether it be Stormont, whether it be Westminster, whatever the monarch, whatever the governmental system that rules your country, whoever you are, my friend, you need to get your eyes beyond the earthly monarch, my friend, and behold the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you know what you'll find? You'll find that you will be like those seraphims. You'll not even be able to, as it were, look at him. You think of what these angels cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Verse 3. My friend, this is the kind of revelation that you need of the Lord today. Who is in control of your situation? Who's in control of the world generally? Who's in control of your life specifically? It's the King of Kings. The one who fills the whole earth with his glory. My friend, whatever your problem, whatever your circumstance is today, my friend, like Isaiah, in your day of crisis, behold the King. Say like Isaiah, verse 5, mine eyes have seen the King. So is this revelation of the Lord. Notice then his response before the Lord. Verse 5, we simply read then, said I, woe is at me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So he has this wonderful vision, verses 1 through 4, of the Lord sitting upon a throne, the blazing purity and holiness of God. He has this wonderful vision of God. What's his response? He says, woe is me, I'm undone. In the Hebrew, it has the idea of being cut off, of being separated, of being cast off or cast away. Here is Isaiah. Remember, he's a believer. And yet as he beholds his God and beholds his Lord, what's his response? He deserves to be cut off, cast away, thrown into the lowest chasms of the damned in hell forever, separated from God forever. Woe is me, he's sorrowful. He's sad as he deserves to be cut off and separated from God. You'll notice here as well, he sees his sin before God. Yes, he sees the sin of others because he dwells in the midst of people of unclean lips, verse 5. But before that, he sees himself as a man of unclean lips. And my friend, when you see the Lord in his rightful position, high and lifted up, and you behold his purity, and you behold even what the angels could not fully look at, such was the blazing majesty of God, then this is how you'll respond. You'll be saying like Isaiah, I'm a man of unclean lips. I am so unclean. When I compare myself to a thrice holy God, then my friend, you will have that rightful response that I am but a creature. And he is the creator, the King of Kings. You will recognize your sin before God. You'll be like Job, who was described, yes, in chapter 1, as a man who feared God and eschewed evil. And yet he said of himself in Job 9:20, if I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. My friend, there is no place for self-justification. No place for self-justification when you behold the Lord who he is. I trust that you see yourself like that today. Because when you see yourself in this proper biblical revelation of who you really are before God, it will change your life. It'll change your life. You have a crisis, a personal crisis. We all have our national crises today, whatever the nation. Seems to be every nation's in a time of crisis at the minute. How do we see ourselves before God? We do not puff out, as it were, our chest before God. No, we shrink. We shrink because we deserve to be cut off. His response and his revelation. Notice then his remission from the Lord. There's a wonderful comfort here in verses 6 and 7. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand. He laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away. Thy sin is purged. Remember, he sees these angels above the throne. And they're looking in at the blazing majesty of God, as I have said. But he sees something now in verses 6 and 7. He sees one of these angels, and they fly to the altar, I believe, personally. It's the brazen altar outside of the confines of the temple. And this angel, what does this angel do? Well, he picks up a live coal from the altar. Now, that's interesting, because it seems in this vision that there would have been a burnt offering. An animal would have been brought onto the brazen altar, would have been slain, blood would have been shed, and then that would have been set on fire. It was a burnt offering. So you imagine the blood literally dropping onto these coals. It's described as a live coal. It's still a flame, as it were. So I want you to see here this live coal. And it is then taken, it is transported from the brazen altar, and it is then transported to Isaiah. And in this vision, Isaiah, he sees in verse 7, this angel taking this live coal, verse 7, he laid it upon my mouth, said, lo, this has touched thy lips, thine iniquity is taken away, thy sins purged. Here the sacrifice has been offered, has been accepted, blood has been shed, and coal from that sacrifice, from that altar, blood dripping possibly, was taken and applied to his lips. The very thing that Isaiah felt himself to be unclean in. He saw himself as a man of unclean lips. This here speaks of reconciliation. It speaks of a sacrifice, obviously, of cleansing through a sacrifice. So here is Isaiah, And yes, he feels his sin. He feels himself unworthy and unfit before God. And yet in this vision, he sees cleansing for his sin through the sacrifice of another. And of course, the burnt offering, the fire, fire speaks of judgment. My friend, what will change your life? It will simply be to behold the one who is the epitome of the burnt offering. Jesus Christ, who of course, whenever he was placed there on Calvary's middle tree, the fire of heaven fell upon Jesus. Our sins were laid on Jesus, as the hymnist tells us, the spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and frees us from the accursed load. My friend, the hell of your sin was laid on Jesus. And he paid that penalty in full for you and for your sin. And my friend, this will change your life. When you behold Jesus Christ, your sacrifice, you behold the one who took your sin, the one whose blood was not merely shed for you, but can be applied to you if you but ask him to forgive you for your sin. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1 verse 7 that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And then two verses later, we're then told to confess our sins, and he will forgive us for our sins. My friend, confess, acknowledge your sin before God, and he will forgive you for your sin. And my friend, like Isaiah, you'll respond like this. In verse 5, mine eyes have seen the King. Things are happening today in this world. Things are happening personally in your life. It's a day of crisis. What's going to change? Not merely your life, but ultimately your eternity. Whether you go to hell because of your sin, or you go to heaven and be with this man Isaiah and be with the King, it's having this life-changing vision and beholding the King in all of his splendor and beholding what Jesus, the King of Kings, did for you on Calvary's middle tree. We trust that this has been an encouragement to you, and you will seek the Lord Jesus for cleansing for your sin. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this vision. We pray that many will have their lives and eternities changed by having such a vision of Calvary. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.